Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the word. I have the pleasure of asking and presenting Sister Lola today to share with us. She's no stranger to many of us, always in this room, sharing, and has her own room as well, the Bible study room. And I'm sure that the Lord will bless us through her today. So as you listen, be blessed. I'm going to turn it over to you, Sister Lola. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Mommy Evon. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Pastor, for just allowing me to speak today. It is a privilege to be with fellow saints in the Lord and just to just share the word of God with everyone. So I just had a word that the Lord, I believe that the Lord had given me a few weeks ago, and I believe that he wants me to share it with the brethren, with everyone. So I pray that we're blessed by the hearing of the word, and the Lord will continue to encourage us in faith, continue to encourage us in trusting in him and everything that he's doing for us, especially in this year, in this quantum leap year. So I just bless the name of the Lord for this, you know, privilege and opportunity to share this word. I just want to say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you because we know that you are in our midst. I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and brings understanding to the simple. I pray, Father, that you would shine a light on all the things that we don't understand, and you would reveal the secrets of your word unto us in the mighty name of Jesus, and that we will leave empowered, encouraged, and full of faith to do the exploits that you have for us in this year and the years to come. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Lord was just revealing to me. And so the topic today is, can God trust you to trust him? And the Lord was really showing me that, you know, in this time that we're in, that, you know, God has so many things that he wants us to accomplish. There's so many things that he's put in our hearts to do. However, we must trust him. And Pastor has been really teaching us and hammering the topic of faith, of believing and believing. And I, you know, this is just right along with that topic. So if we think about through our Christian life, you know, most of our focus is geared toward trusting in God. This is a constant battle in our lives. We always need more faith. We need always to be reminded to trust in God in every situation. You know, so many scriptures that reminds us to believe in him and to not doubt, to have faith and to believe in his word, a continuous reminder and encouragement of faith in the Lord. When I think about our Christian walk, many Christians were always kind of just struggling at some point, you know, always just trying to trust God, just trying to trust God. Interestingly enough, God has always proven himself to be trustworthy. He has never failed and he never will. He has never shown any signs of not being trustworthy, right? James 1:17 says, you know, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So God doesn't change. He's always consistent. He's trustworthy. You know, you can think about people in our lives. Some people are trustworthy, but some people, you know, might be hit or miss. But God does not change. And Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Verse 22, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." There's so many scriptures that really tell us the results of those who trust in him. And Bible says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." So God has never failed us once. And yet we still continue to struggle sometimes to trust him. And that's just very interesting. You know, he's never failed us. He's never put us to shame. He's always consistent, but why do we still, you know, struggle to trust in the Lord? And so, you know, the Lord was showing me this dynamic of a parent and child relationship, right? So the relationship between parent and child is interesting. Children are trusting their parents for so many years of their lives. But there comes a shift in this dynamic when the parent now begins to trust the child in many things. The child shows up as faithful and reliable, one who can be given responsibility. As the child grows and becomes an adult, more and more responsibilities are awarded to the child. And before you know it, you're confident in committing things to that child. Well, I think about how God wants to trust us, right? To trust him. And so there's so many things that he wants to entrust into us. And we see that really through scripture, that so many exploits that were done, God was trusting great men and women of God to have faith in him. So that's where the topic comes from. Can God trust me to actually just trust him? And that's really what God needs from us is our faith, is that we trust in him. So when I think about, you know, parents, you know, many of you maybe have adult children. And, you know, when it gets to an age where maybe you have a will or some important documents, bank accounts, and then, you know, you think about how you give them to your children because you're like, you know, you're at an older age and I can trust you with important things. I can really trust you. I can rely on you. You know, sometimes you can go on business ventures with your children, grown children, start an organization, partner up with them, right? So there's a shift in dynamic where the child is always trusting the parent, but then the parent begins to trust the child. And I believe that the Lord is calling us to so much greater things, and he wants to entrust things and exploits and so many visions and dreams that he's put in our hearts. And he wants to trust us with them, but he can only trust us by us trusting him. It's a two-way street. So, the way of the Lord trusts us is by our faith, right? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. The Lord wants to show us great and mighty things that we do not know. However, he can only show us those things and take us there if we believe and trust in him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? It's our faith in him, in his word, and the Holy Spirit working in us is what God uses to trust us, right? Our faith in God, his word, our faith in his word, and the spirit that he's put in us is what God uses to trust us with everything that he has already given us. Matthew 17:20 says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So when we don't trust him, we don't allow him to do the exploits that he wants us to do. You know, there's so many, I just think about territories that God wants us to take and, you know, areas and situations and so many things that God wants to do in this land, but he needs those that he can trust. And those people that he trusts are the people who trust him with everything and that he will do it. So when the Lord calls on us, what is our response, right? It is a reflection of where our hearts are. Deuteronomy 8:2, I'll look at it. Let me see. Sorry, I had it here. Okay. I'll just start from verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land and a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig and trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of those whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And so I read this because we see that, you know, through this life, there's so many different tests and so many different challenges that we go through. And many times the Lord is testing us, right? Because he wants to know. Well, he knows what's in our hearts, but sometimes we don't realize what's in our hearts. And sometimes he has to remove some things in our hearts so that we can go forward, so that he can entrust what he has for them. So we see that even through the Bible, we see that many people had wilderness seasons where they were either in the wilderness or they were going through trials and tribulations, right? Because God had to test them, right? Because he had a promise for them. And they proved that God could trust them because they always relied on him, right? We see that with Joseph throughout when he was sold to slavery, when he was in Potiphar's house, when he was in the prison, right? The ups and downs. He proved to God that God could trust him because he always trusted God. He did not waver in his trust for God. So God trusts him with the position that he gave him to do what? Save the Israelites. You know, we see that with David. We see that with so many people in the Bible. You know, so God wants to do some great and mighty, mighty things in us. But he can only entrust those things in us when we continually trust him. Let me see. Okay. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Psalm 7:9 says, oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteousness, for the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. So we know it's the Lord that knows our hearts. He knows our minds, and he tests us in different ways. There's so many different tests that we go to, right? There's a continuous trying of our faith for perfection in our hearts. Every time that our faith is tested, can God trust us to trust him, right? So every time we go through a trial and tribulation, what is our response? That is what God, that's the result of our faith or lack of faith, right? And so every time we go through, it should increase. Our faith should increase. James 1:2-4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, this really goes in line in really becoming the sons of God. I think about, you know, a child versus a son, right? A child is still maneuvering, you know, still trying to learn. But a son is entrusted with great and mighty things. Why? Because the parent knows that this son can be trusted, that this son will not waver. This son will not go back, will not give up, will not rebel, that this son will always stay steadfast and firmly believing, what God has said. So the sons of God are trustworthy, and the Lord trusts us. You know, he wants to trust us with the great and mighty things that he has in store for us. So it made me just think about, you know, interestingly enough, there's some people in the Bible that, you know, the Lord, I would say he kind of bragged about, which I thought it was interesting. And the first person I thought, first person we'll look at is Abraham briefly. In Genesis 18:19, God says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And it's interesting to see how the Lord speaks highly of Abraham, right? Well, I believe that the Lord speaks highly of us and wants to speak even more highly of us, that, you know, I know my children, I know my sons, right? That no matter what comes their way, they will not waver. No matter what comes, you know, what the enemy throws at them, right? They will stand in their authority, right? So I know that I can give them this territory. I know that they're ready to possess it because I trust in them. And so we see that with Abraham. Abraham was faithful to God. And when I think of what does it mean to be faithful, it means to be full of faith, right? To be completely full of faith. So Abraham was full of faith in God. Another interesting person that the Lord, I would say, kind of bragged about, maybe we don't really want this one as much, but it's Job. but it's interesting how, you know, the Lord knew his heart so much that he even, you know, God had so much confidence in Job. Just like we see, he had this confidence in Abraham. He had this confidence in Job. And so he says in Job chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Right. The Lord knew that no matter what happened to Job, Job would not depart from the Lord. Right. The Lord knew Job's heart, that it didn't matter, you know, what would come his way, that Job would be loyal to him. Right. And the Lord wants us to have faith in him in every single thing, to trust him, to trust his word. Right. To walk in the authority. Right. Another person, Moses, which is really interesting. And this is Numbers chapter 12, 1 to 8. And this is when Miriam and Aaron were speaking against Moses. So then Miriam, Adam, and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting." So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And so we see also here how God speaks of Moses, how highly he speaks of Moses. But we see that in verse 7, God says that he was faithful, right? Full of faith, full of faith. So the Lord wants us to be full of faith in him. Okay. Another great example is David, right? David was a man that the Lord could trust with his people. He could trust with the Israelites, right? The Lord trusted him with the kingdom, right? However, we know that David also went through a wilderness season. But we see throughout the time that David ran from Saul, he was faithful to God. He would inquire of the Lord before he would even do anything, so many things, right? And even he even feared God enough to not kill Saul. And we even see his faithfulness even after he, had an affair with, committed adultery with Bathsheba, right? Once he was exposed by Nathan, the first thing he did was repent. And that shows someone who is committed to the Lord, that it's not just I always do the right thing, but even if I make a mistake, I'm quick to run back to the Lord, quick. So the Lord can trust us that even if we fall into trouble, that we will seek him, that we will go back to him. He says that I know that my children will come back and they will not sit in sorrow. They will not continue in unrighteousness and in iniquity. And so 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." Right. So great. Another good example is Joshua and Caleb, right? If we remember when they went to spy, Joshua and Caleb as one of the 10 spies went to, spy into the land that the Lord was going to give them. Right. And when the other ones came back, they mumbled. They were so fearful. They put so much fear in the Israelites, saying there's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers. We can't take them. And the Israelites ran with it and were ready to go back to Egypt. So I'll just read a little bit. And this is Numbers 14. Says, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Right. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness. And then verse 36 says, now the men whom Moses sent to spy out to the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out to the land. And so we see Joshua and Caleb were the two men who just believed. They had faith in God. They had faith. They said, with God, we can overtake. We can destroy these people. We can take this land, right? And so we see that God can only trust those ones, those two, and Moses out of the other ones. You know, and it made me just think, imagine if God really took the Israelites that came out of Egypt into that land, they would just retreat. You know, it would be a whole disgrace. Why? Because they had no faith. And so the importance of our faith, right, and our faith in trusting God, the importance of just trusting God to allow him to do what he wants to do is so, so vital in this time that we that God has a lot we wants us to do, and all he's asking for us is to trust in him. So Hebrews 12 lists a great cloud of witnesses, right? Hebrews 12 verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and we know the great cloud of witnesses is in Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 11 is the chapter of faith, right? And it talks about all the different people who trusted God, who had faith in God, and we see the exploits in them. So therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so I talked about a little bit, those who God could not trust, right? We just looked at a few, but there's so many people in the Bible that we see that God was able to do what he wanted to do, right? His glory in the land, because they trusted him. And so God could trust them with what he wanted to do. And God wants to trust us with his plans, right? That his plans for us, his thoughts for us are good and not of evil, right? He wants to trust us with everything that he has for us, but we have to trust him. Okay. So those who God could not trust, and the only example I put, which I'm sure there's other ones, but are just the Israelites, right? God could not trust the promised land or even fighting the battles with the Israelites that came out of Egypt, because at every single challenge, they would begin to murmur. They would begin to complain. They would threaten to go back to Egypt that they were suffering, right? Eventually, unbelief became a snare to them. The Lord couldn't trust the people to fight. Imagine if these people that came out of Israel went to fight, right? Went to the, you know, I thought of it when you read the book of Joshua, you see the different battles that they fought, right? and the people that they destroyed, the nations that were destroyed so they can possess their possession. The people who came out of Egypt would not have even fought. They would not have survived. They would have retreated at the first sight of any challenge, right? The Amorites, Jericho, would they even walk around the walls of Jericho? They would probably say, what's the point? This is too much, you know? And so it's interesting because God couldn't entrust the giving these people, giving the Israelites. He couldn't entrust them to take this territory. And so he needed a whole new generation of people, right? With Caleb and Joshua and Moses. So, you know, I just think that many times we're trying to trust God and trust God, and God is looking for those that he can trust, right? And so that's the maturity in our faith, where we are steadfast. And God says, I can trust my child with this. I can trust my child with this. No matter the situation that comes, I will trust that they will overcome. Why? Because they trust in me. Because they study my word and they stand on my word. They know me. So the question is, can God trust us? Right? That's really what the topic is, right? Can God trust me to trust him? That's really, really the topic. One of the things, and Pastor Yato has talked about it multiple times, that, you know, affects how we're able to move is sin consciousness, right? And so the Lord I just made think about sin consciousness. And, you know, even when we fall, right, we get back up and continue with boldness, right? Romans 8:1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, right? Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Psalm 37:33-34 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Sin consciousness strips away our boldness in Christ Jesus. It strips away our confidence in the Lord. It strips away, you know, our confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, in the blood of Jesus, right? And so, you know, sin consciousness can really hold us back. And I guess this is an example just because somebody who really struggled a lot with condemnation, a lot. And the Lord had to really teach me a lot about it. And listening to teaching by Pastor Yato made me aware of sin consciousness. And, you know, I remember, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, something had happened where, you know, something had happened that I just I didn't act the way I should have acted. Let's just say I overreacted in the situation. And I felt, you know, really bad about the situation. And, you know, I was just praying to the Lord. When the Lord made, the Holy Spirit just was correcting me and showing me, you know, what I did wrong and what I should have done instead. And, you know, what I needed to do. And so I was just praying and I was repenting. And I was praying, I was repenting. And then I started doing something else. And then I started praying and repenting again. And, you know, the Lord just started downloading other things to me. He was showing me things. He was talking to me about a whole different topic. And I just sat there and I was like, wait a minute, why are we? And the Lord was telling me, he said, you've already repented. You've already, you know, I see it in your heart. You know, you've repented from your heart. And you've already prayed about it. Why are you still focused on this thing? Why are you still sitting in this pity party? Why are you still, you know, so wrapped up in this? I have already moved on. I need you to move on because there's work to do. I need you to move on because there's so many other things that we need to do. And sin consciousness really strips away our confidence. It strips away our boldness, right? It makes us want to take a seat back and say, you know what? I can't really do this. I can't because of this. When the Lord says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? And so the Lord wants us. So that's one of the biggest issues that hold us back from really moving forward, right? Seeing then that we have, this is Hebrews 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So can the Lord trust that if we do fall, if we do mess up, that we will not sit in condemnation, right? Can he trust us that we will not, because of what his word has said, but instead, can you trust us that we will just repent, seek his face, learn from our mistakes, dust ourselves off, get back up, run to the throne room of grace and receive grace and mercy because we have received the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross that does not condemn us, right? We need to get back up quickly because there's work to be done. We have been called to greater things. We must get up and move, not sit down and sulk. So can God trust that we will not live in sin consciousness that disrupts our faith in him for exploits, right? So the Lord is trusting us to believe his word, to trust his word, and to obey his word and to walk in his word, right? So then we can do what he's called us to do, okay? Another one that Pastor Yato always talks about is need consciousness, right? That's another huge distraction because sin consciousness and need consciousness, the enemy uses that to distract us, to delay us, to hold us back, right? To sit, to get off course because we're so focused on those things instead of focusing on Christ. Okay, and I'm going to read this. I thought I wrote this scripture. I think it's in Matthew. But therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life that ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All right? So, Jesus is speaking here and he's really teaching us that we need to stop worrying about our needs. We need to stop being so careful. And what does that mean? Full of care, right? Fully so focused on all these different things because God wants to do greater things. And if we can't trust him with our basic needs, how can we trust him with greater things? If he says, I want to take you to a nation, and I'm still just focused on how I can just eat, right? How can God really entrust the nations unto us, right? If he wants to entrust greater things unto us, how can he entrust those things when we can't just trust him on these small things? And so the Lord really wants us to get out of this need consciousness, right? If he shows us a vision or a dream or something he's put in our hearts that seems greater than what we can imagine or how we're going to do it. When the question of how are we going to do it, our answer should be the Lord will do it. The Lord that has given me this vision will complete it. The Lord that has given me this dream, he will supply everything that I need for it to be fulfilled. The Lord that is taking me in this direction will do it. And so then at that point, there's no worry, right? Even for our homes, just a quick testimony. before I bought my house, and I'll just share this really quick. Just as a single parent, I was really, really worried if I would be able to afford it. I really, really was worried. And, you know, I have a whole testimony on how the Lord chose it for me and saved it for me in the time where inflation was high and houses were so hard to get. People were adding extra money. But the Lord just provided everything that I needed. Every time they would say, oh, you need more money. You need more money. And I said, where am I supposed to find more money? Within 24 hours, the Lord would provide what I needed. And so what the Lord showed me, he says, me that I have started this process of this house, you will never have to worry about paying any mortgage, paying anything, right? We have to trust that everything, the Bible says that the Lord is the one who maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And so if we trust that in God's hands, then our minds should not be focused on how am I going to. No, it's that God will do it, period. Let me refocus myself on what God has called me to do. And that's what it means to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, that we are focused on his kingdom because we know that everything in our lives, around our lives, is taken care of. It doesn't matter what the bank says. It doesn't matter what our account says. It doesn't matter what the experts say, right? The Bible says that our faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of the Lord. And so God is looking for us he's looking to trust us, to trust him in our provisions and everything that he said, that God who ordains a thing will sustain it. And so we don't worry. And of course, he's going to sustain the big things, but how much more where we live? The cars that we drive, the food that we eat, our bills, our debt, all these things. How much more will our Heavenly Father sustain all of those things, provide all of those things in abundance, right? So God is looking for those who believe that. He's looking for us to believe that. As we believe those things, then he can entrust greater things to us. Now that you believe that I can take care of your family here, now I can entrust you with communities. I can entrust you with nations. I can entrust you with greater and greater things, right? So the Lord really wants us to trust him. He wants to trust us to trust him. Okay. So our consistent worry and concern about the things that the world worries about keeps us so limited. The Lord wants us to rise above those things, right? They're actually distractions. The question, can the Lord trust me to trust him to provide everything I need along the way so I can focus on the greater things that he has in store, right? Need consciousness and sin consciousness takes away our focus. It distracts us from the Lord completely. The enemy uses those things. And so we have to get to a point to say, I don't care what I see. I walk by faith and not by sight. This is what God has said. I believe it and I head on and leave it to the side and allow the Lord to take care of our needs. So there's an elevation taking place from us struggling in different ways to trust God to God awaiting for those that he can trust, right? The key is that God is looking for those who he can trust to trust him. Basically, God needs our resilience so he can do the exploits that he wants to do in our lives. There are many things that the Lord wants to do in our lives, in our families, right? In us, through us, with us, right? But we have to trust us. He's waiting for us to really, really trust him. Just like we saw some of those examples with Moses, how God called him faithful, right? He called Abraham faithful, full of faith, right? We see that with other people in the Bible, that they trusted God in every point, right? When it was high, when it was low, in the midst of sickness, anything, they trusted in the Lord. They did not waver. That's where God wants us to be, because that is what a son, the sons of God trust in him. And the sons of God is who the Lord trusts himself to say, my sons are here on the earth. I am giving them territories and assignments, right? And I know that they will be faithful because they trusted me. So the key is that God is looking for those he can trust to trust him. Oh, I already read that. Sorry. Many people got approached and said, this is just how my mind works, but many people got approached and said, hey, I have an assignment for you. All you have to do is trust me. Can I trust you to trust me? And that's what the Lord is telling us. I have some great things for you to do. I have some assignments. I have some great things. I have plans to prosper you, right? A lot of the desires in our hearts, right? God is the one who puts them there, right? And so those things, and sometimes they're things that we do believe for, but then there's some things that we don't, you know, we're still wavering. We're still uncertain, right? But God has said, I have some great things for you. I have some wonderful things for you, right? All you have to do is trust me. Can I trust you to trust me? That's the question that the Lord is asking us. Okay. Okay. So, you know, and you know, our response remind me of Isaiah. I think this is chapter 6. But Isaiah verse 5 says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, right? Because I'm a man of unclean lips. And this is Isaiah speaking. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. So we see Isaiah stepping up, right? The Lord wants us to step up, okay? Because in that stepping up, we're not worrying about how, right? We know the how comes from the Lord. Right? But we trust in him to provide everything. Everything is already done. Everything is already situated. All the provision that is needed to move forward is already in place, right? It's our faith that God is waiting for. So can the Lord trust us, right? The answer is yes. Can the Lord trust us? The answer is yes. Well, why can the Lord trust us? Let's look at Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And so we see the reason why God can trust us or wants to trust us is because he has given us his own spirit. And we walk by his spirit and not by our flesh. And because his spirit that he has given us, right? He says, I have put a new spirit within you that will cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. It's his spirit that leads us. It's his spirit that helps us. It's the Holy Spirit that directs our paths, right? 1 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so God has given us everything that we need, everything that we need. God is not saying, I want to trust you to figure it out on your own. I want to put this weight on you. He said, no, I have given you my spirit to help you to be successful, to help you to do what I've called you to do. I just need you to trust in me, trust in my word, and trust in the spirit that I've put in you that will direct your path. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Basically, God has it all taken care of. Everything that we need to do, to live, to move, to walk in faith, he has given us. He's the one that works in us to have the will to do his good pleasure, but also the grace to actually do it.
He is the one doing it. And so God can trust us because he called us. He washed us. The blood of Jesus has washed us of all sin, all iniquity, and all unrighteousness. Then now we have the robe of righteousness. We are in right standing with God. And then he has put his own spirit in us to give us the empowerment to do everything that he's called us to do. So therefore, it's our faith. The only thing that we need is to believe him and to follow him and to obey him. He's done everything. He's done all the work. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Right? And so the spirit of God is the one that strengthens us and helps us in every single situation. Okay? So I'm wrapping up now. This is just the end. So it's just to think, can the Lord trust us to have faith in him? Can he trust us to trust him? Can the Lord trust us to not run back to Egypt? Can the Lord trust us to fight the good fight of faith? Can the Lord trust us to pull down strongholds and cast down arguments and every high thing that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God? Can he trust us to bring all thoughts to the obedience of Christ? Can the Lord trust us to take authority he has given us against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places? Can the Lord trust us to live an uncondemned life, that we walk by faith and not by sight, not by our feelings, and that with boldness we approach the throne room of grace to receive mercy and grace? Can the Lord trust us to believe that he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, so our needs no longer distract us from what God is doing and what he wants us to be doing? And so instead of seeking to fulfill our needs, we begin to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Can the Lord trust us to believe that healing is our portion and that the Lord has taken sickness away from us? Can the Lord trust us to speak to mountains and they be removed? Can the Lord trust us to believe that he will always be our strong tower, our present help in the time of need, a shield around us, the glory and the lifter up of our heads? Can the Lord trust that we trust in his mercy and in his grace? Can the Lord trust us that we will not be put to shame, that we will not be confounded in any way, that he will never put us to shame? In essence, can God trust us to believe his promises? Can the Lord trust us to trust him? And so for this year of Quantum Leap, we must trust God wholeheartedly. So with speed, he will entrust those secret things and entrust us to the greater things that he has planned for us to accomplish. And so my prayer is that we would increase in our faith and take that challenge to say, Lord, you can trust me to trust in you. You can trust me to believe in your word. You can trust me to always fight the good fight of faith and to always get back up. Even if the enemy takes a hit at me and I fall, I will get back up and I will come back stronger. And so I believe that the Lord is already equipping us in this room, and he's going to entrust us with so many great and wonderful things. I yield. I yield the mic. Lord, we thank you for this word. I just pray that it is encouragement to all of us. And I pray that you continue to strengthen us in our faith in you and strengthen us and show us those great and mighty things that you want us to know and see. I just thank you for this privilege and this opportunity to share with the saints, with the brethren. And I pray that your glory, that your will is done in our lives, and that we will all quantum leap in this year in Jesus' name. I yield the mic.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Lola, for that powerful, powerful, powerful share. Praise the Lord. Can the Lord trust us to trust him? Well, the answer is yes. And we must say yes. You know, we need to say, Lord, yes, I trust you. You know, help me to trust you more. That's all we got to do. The answer is always yes to the Lord. My soul says yes. Thank you, Sister Lola. There's so many nuggets in there, you know, that picked out of some of the things you said. You know, a couple of acronyms for faith. One I gave the other day, fully and intentionally trust in Him. And another one I put in the chat room today is for all things I trust Him. You know, I mean, we got to just trust the Lord. And thank God for this message today.